The Hard Shoulder on News Talk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
With this issue now, and Andy Pike is on the line. He's the head of education with the Forza Trade Union. But first, I'd like to speak to Adam Harris, who's the CEO of As I Am, the charity supporting those with autism. Adam, how detrimental is it for students, like the daughter of Sean there in Cork, who got in touch with us, not to have access to schooling over the next few weeks?
Good afternoon, Ciarán, and I really appreciate you having us on the show. I think families across the country this morning, 18,000, woke up to the news that there wouldn't be the opportunity to return to special classes and schools. And that's before we even talk about the majority of children with additional needs who are now in mainstream. But these children specifically in special classes and schools with very complex needs, since the start of the pandemic, things have just been incredibly tough. Many of our young people rely on routine and structure and predictability. Obviously, that's been removed. And at the same time, we've seen a loss of support. So since March 2020, we've had a very ad hoc approach to school for our learners. We know that a majority of children with complex needs are unable to learn remotely, and as a result of that, they've lost out on much needed provision. Now, I think for most children, losing out on a week or two of school is problematic. It's not ideal. However, for our young people, this has significant developmental impacts. So 61% of our young people since the start of this pandemic have lost key skills such as personal care, communication, interacting with other people. And this has an impact far beyond COVID-19. It has an impact in quality of life across the person's life cycle. And it's unfortunately what we've seen is our approach here in this country is not what we've seen in other European countries who've protected special education, who've seen it as an essential service and have made sure that it can operate safely.
So what is it you're calling on government to do now?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that need to happen. It's very clear that the public health advice permits us to open special classes in schools. We're talking about 18,000 young people who cannot learn otherwise. And this resource is the difference between further regression and suffering or a person having the opportunity to close that gap that's opened over the last year. We believe that it's important that engagement takes place between the department and stakeholders for that to take place as quickly as possible. You know, families are hearing today a lot of conflict between departments and stakeholders. To be honest, that's not something that interests our children. We don't have time for that. But what we need to see instead is for the adults in the room to come up with a solution that allows us to do it, that 2 hours up in the road in Northern Ireland is already taking place. I think as well as that, what we want to see is real engagement from the department. We weren't able to get engagement from the minister today. We're meeting with her on Monday. And I think it's really important that we see that there's supports in place in the meantime. That includes things like home tuition. So yeah, Making those young people don't go without in the days ahead.
Adam, I appreciate, and you'll appreciate, I suppose, that the circumstances the government made their decisions during the week and the urgent nature of those decisions. But it strikes me as strange, putting it mildly, that there was no plan in place, that it looks like last September they made a decision that the schools were going to open, and a lot of people would have respected that decision and welcomed that decision. But at no point between last September and last week did they think, you know what, there's a point at which we may have to close the schools. Let's have a plan in place for it.
I think there's two things that I would say to that. There's no doubt that our families this time last year very much pulled on the green jersey, even though there was a sense that this was going to be very, very challenging, and it has proven to be the case. There was a sense that this couldn't be prepared for. We're now 10 months into the pandemic and families are feeling the pinch. And 79% of our families said if this situation was to arise again, in-school learning would be essential for their young people in order to be able to cope and learn. We have communicated this to the department. So we completely agree it's not acceptable that there hasn't been enough planning. At the same time, we do not accept that it's necessary for special schools or classes to close. And the evidence we point to for this is we are an outlier in Europe in our approach in this regard.
All right, listen, Adam, stay on the line. Andy Pike, who's the head of education with the Forza Trade Union, is with me as well. Andy, I know you were listening to Adam there. Like, from your point of view and the point of view of your members, is it manageable? Could schools, special schools and special units in mainstream schools, open for the next 3 weeks?
Well, we think it could be possible to do so, but not at very short notice and not without doing a bit more by way of planning and making sure the operational issues are addressed. I mean, this is frankly a mess. Forza represents SNA's Working Toronto school system, and we support the policy of providing continuing education to SEN students and students with additional care needs, provided it can be done safely. But announcing a policy on a Wednesday to take effect on Monday morning without really talking to anyone in the sector about the details has proven to be an unmitigated disaster. We're back really to where we were in March 2020 when schools were closed and the department made no provision whatsoever for SEN education. Their only response in terms of SNAs at that time was to try to redeploy them into the health service. They had no interest in maintaining support to special schools and special classes. Now, at that time, the service was provided through the HSE by SNAs of remote support and some one-to-one interaction, which actually was very helpful in terms of providing some structure, some routine. What we think needs to happen now is an immediate return to focusing on what can be done by way of remote learning or remote support. That's not a substitute for in-person support, but it is something that may be of value to some. That should start immediately on Monday. We need then to move very quickly through the list of issues that need to be resolved. And on the public health point, the NPHET advice is that schools are safe for two reasons. One, because the level of transmission in schools is lower than in the general community.
Yeah.
But secondly, because there are specific mitigation measures in place in schools which minimize risks. But those mitigation measures include wearing face masks, maintaining social distancing, good hand hygiene, and a range of other issues that are not necessarily applicable in special schools and special classes to the same extent. So a look at that is essential before everybody returns to the classroom. We do think, however, I'll finish on this point, we do think it should be possible to provide in-person support on school premises relatively quickly in the same way as was done in the summer months, starting with something that's safe and doable with staggered attendance, building towards full attendance as cases recede.
Yeah.
Clearly, we can't leave families and students hanging without a service, but what happens needs to be properly planned and properly executed.
Yeah, it strikes me like you're going to have empty school buildings with empty rooms all over them. And like you said, they talked about leaving searchers coming in on a staggered basis over 3 days a week. Like, it would be a huge relief, I know, to families out there, a lot of them getting in touch on 53106 sharing their stories, and I'll get to some of those stories in just a minute, but a huge relief to them, even if it was 1 or 2 days a week.
Well, it would be. In mainstream schools, there'll be extra space available, and that's key, because the more you can maintain a distance between individuals and ensure that people are working and studying in a very well-ventilated environment, the better. That still may be a problem in special schools because the space is much more constricted.
It is, and everyone obviously would want access to school, but you could do it on a staggered basis. It's not ideal not to be in there 5 days a week, but like 2 or 3 days is better than 0 days. I just wonder, Andy, like you mentioned back in March and being back where we were in March, and people will have had huge sympathy, I think, for the government and the decisions they had to make in March and how little we knew about this virus. But again, to come back to a point I made to Adam, it just beggars belief that there wasn't a plan in place for this eventuality. It's almost like the government knew that if they put a plan in place for schools closing, it would leak and it would get out and they would be roundly criticised for even contemplating the closure of schools. I mean, were there any discussions, to your knowledge, between the government, the Department of Education and other stakeholders about this possibility, where we find ourselves today?
Well, no. We're in weekly contact with the department and NPHET and HSE Public Health as trade unions on the safety issues in schools, and no consideration had been given to what to do if the situation deteriorated and school closures became necessary. We became worried about this in mid-December. We issued press releases late December calling on the department to make contingency plans because it looked likely that there might not be a return to school on the normal date after the Christmas holidays. But unfortunately, nothing is done until the very last minute. And this puts school staff in a really difficult situation. Yeah. Had they gone ahead on Monday, if you think about the 17,000 SNAs, they're mainly women. A big proportion of that staff group have children who aren't in school, who are at home. It would have been absolutely impossible for them to make alternative childcare arrangements in the current climate by Monday morning. Now, there may be a solution available over the coming weeks if school staff are seen as essential services and there is available childcare out there. But clearly, to ask individuals to make a choice between leaving children at home without care and attending their place of work, well, that's just an impossible position to put staff in.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Adam Harris of As I Am, the CEO of As I Am, is still on the line. Adam, you spoke and you put it very clearly, the impact that this has on students. I'm struck as well, just looking at some of the texts coming in front of me here, the impact this has on families, on parents as well, because while no one does consider school a daycare service, like the effect of schooling and being able to send the kids to school, for some people, it is a form of respite, an important form of respite.
It's very important for families that children on the autism spectrum and children with conditions such as Down syndrome and learning disabilities return to school. I think it's important to say, though, none of us see this as respite. We see this as essential learning and as the opportunity for a child to develop appropriately.
No, I mean respite, I suppose, for the parents. It's an important break. If you've got someone whose needs are so acute that maybe, you know, sleep is disrupted, maybe they've got other children at home with special needs as well who they need to take care of during the day, that they're hugely reliant on schools being there to send the kids in for a few hours a day. And like I said, I don't want to make it sound like I'm treating them as a daycare service, but that's the reality for people, is that they need that time.
There can be no question that this has put a much greater level of stress and strain on families. And I think what we need to hear from all stakeholders involved in this discussion is the recognition loudly and clearly that for a proportion of children with disabilities, it is not possible to learn remotely. I think that's really important. I also think we have to be very clear that when we're talking about this issue, we are talking about an essential service. And as a result, there has to be a presumption that that service will continue. And I think while we're talking here today about some of the issues that have been raised, things like social distancing, social distancing is a concept people with disabilities are always going to struggle with.
Yeah.
But talking here today, there's disability services open for adults where accommodations are being made, where that is being managed. So I don't think we can put barriers up that weren't raised in September when schools were first opened. I think we have to be solution focused. We're very keen to be solution focused and to work on some of the concepts that Andy has talked about. But I think the really worrying thing today is that the one cohort of people who haven't been engaged with today by the Department of Education are those who have disabilities and their families. You know, we have an adage in the disability community, nothing about us without us. I think if we're to find a solution that's going to work for children with disabilities and their families, groups like As I Am, Inclusion Ireland and Down Syndrome Ireland need to be brought to the table.
Yeah, look, I'm going to repeat it because it's worth repeating. It beggars belief that the government didn't put a plan in place for this eventuality. Anyway, Adam Harris, the CEO of As I Am, and Andy Pike of the Forza Trade Union, thank you both very much for your time. I mentioned some of the texts coming in, a huge amount of them. I am a parent of a child with complex special needs here. She regressed so badly in the first lockdown and now we're facing into that again. School is her whole social life. Like so many kids like her, she has no life outside of school bar us, and we can only do so much for her. I'm raging with this decision. It has been made despite clear contrary evidence from NPHET and the CMO. Not sure if I'm more angry with the department or the unions, but they've both let us and our child down again in a way that will traumatise her and us all over again. That's from John in Dublin 12, whereas Jane Johnston says, Kieran, you might remember I spoke with you before Christmas re family carers. I do, Jane, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners will remember that as well. People they care for are often overlooked on terms of priority vaccine program. This continues to be the case, and as a mum and carer to an adult and a child with special needs, I can say that from my own experience and that of many of my friends who are also carers, that we feel totally undervalued and unsupported through COVID and long before that, as per your point. We are the misfits who don't seem to matter to government, opposition or the systems that should support us, but constantly ask us to dig deeper. We've almost reached the bottom of our pit because we are not heroes, just ordinary people on the outskirts of society, and never has that been so blatant as it has been through COVID. Thank you for thinking of us. Jane, thank you for your text. 53106. Keep them coming in. They cost 30 cents, or you can get me on Twitter at The Hard Shoulder. After the break, we're going to be chatting to Henry McKean. He's been out to West Dublin, where there are reports of children as young as 10 acting as